end that we are. I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but really, we are closer to the end of everything wrapping up than what most of us realize we are. When you see the current events and the things that are existing in our day, we are forced to admit the Bible is right. The Bible talked about this end time. Amen. The conditions that it would exist here and now. And we have seen them come to pass in our own day. Israel is already back in her homeland and has been since 1948. Amen. They're struggling for survival yet today. But I want to tell you, they are here to stay in their homeland. Praise God. God will see to it. Amen. And one of these days, it'll all be over. And Jesus is going to come. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that day. I trust that the Lord will help us tonight. I'm not sure exactly how things is going to turn in this service, but there are several things on my heart that I'd like to talk to you about. When we consider that these are the last days, amen, and these are the last times, and when we read the Bible and see how close we are to the end, it is not time for us to slack up and become lax in our experience with God. If there's anything that we need to do, is to draw closer to the Lord. Amen. If you're satisfied with the way you are and what you are, amen, you probably won't understand much about what I'm going to say to you tonight. But if you're interested in drawing closer to God, if you're not saved at all, and you feel like you'd like to get saved before Jesus comes or before you die, I hope the Lord will help you realize your need tonight. If you're saved and you're thinking that everything's all right with you, amen, and you're satisfied with where you are spiritually, and you have no interest in getting better and drawing closer to the Lord, amen, you probably feel out of place tonight. But I want to tell you, we are living in the days we must. It is not an option. I've said this many times. We cannot afford to wait another 5 years for revival. We must have a move of the Spirit of God now. There must be a moving of the Holy Ghost in the hearts and the people of God today. Amen. I said to somebody just recently, amen, and I believe it's true with all of my heart, holiness of life is more important than holiness of doctrine. You can believe it, amen, intellectually, but until you have an experience with God in your heart, it doesn't amount to much. Amen. Right doing, just doing right, is infinitely more important than just talking about doing right. Come on here. Praise God. I may not ever get to read a text tonight, but it'll be all right. But we have approached a time in the American church world where we have got to have a move of the Spirit of God in our church services. And not just in our church services, in our homes in America. We have got to draw closer to God than we've ever been. It seems as to me that we have people in the holiness movement that is getting more worldly and more worldly minded rather than drawing closer to God. Amen. Any measure of fruitfulness requires the breaking of the outer man. Amen. The fleshly man, the carnal man has got to be crucified. Amen. The scripture said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, amen, it is not I that lives, but it is Christ that liveth within me. Amen. The old man must be broken. The outer carnality of the flesh has got to be crucified. Amen. And I want to tell you tonight, I'm feeling better already. I want to tell you tonight, in order to be used of God, there has got to be a broken will, a will that is controlled by the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God moving in our lives. The battleground is strewn with those who refuse to give themselves over to God and allow the outer, the carnal, the fleshly appetites and passions and desires to be crucified and to die so that the inner man of the Spirit may live. We have a generation in American church world right now that is very religious. Amen. And religious indeed. We most of our generation is religious in some sort. Amen. They go to church occasionally. Amen. They profess Christianity. But in personal experience with God seems like it's so far and so distant from them. Amen. To have that relationship with God on a personal level that you know God and God has come to dwell within your heart and your life. Amen. It seems like it's almost foreign talk. Amen. To men and women in these days. But I want to tell you, these are the last days. Amen. Help me here. Amen. There is a difference, great God. There is a difference between a life of suppression and a life of sanctification and service. Amen. Help me here. Amen. I believe in holy living, holiness in life and conduct and behavior. Amen. But if you're just living by certain standards because that's what the church teaches and requires, amen, you are living a life of suppression and not a life of sanctification. You have not had that experience with God. And if you change churches, come on, I'm going to preach to you tonight, or you change preachers, amen, you will change in your conduct and behavior. Amen. We have got to have a personal experience with God where the Holy Ghost, amen, does a work of sanctifying power in our life where you lose the desires for the world and the worldly pleasures and things of this life so much so that you want God and you want Him more than anything. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm feeling better. It's becoming more and more common. Amen. To think of sanctification and service as bondage and slavery. And to live holiness is bondage. Amen. Come on here. Amen. It's not bondage. It's not slavery. Amen. It's a divine experience with God. If living holiness is bondage to you, amen, you have had your relationship with God broken. Amen. Amen. Living holiness should be an experience. Holiness is your relationship with God. Hallelujah. And if living holiness is bondage to you, amen, you do not have an experience with God. Hallelujah. Spirituality is not a life of suppression. Amen. No. That's the negative. Holiness is positive. Amen. It is a new life. Having an experience with God that changes your person, changes your heart, changes your motives, changes your desires, changes your passions. Amen. Changes your direction. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. To live holiness is an experience with God. Hallelujah. Woo! Help me, Lord. I'm feeling like preaching right now. I know I ain't read a text, but it's all right. Amen. I've quoted enough scripture to you already. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, we go, oh, God, help me here. Amen. Seem like anymore we go to camp meetings and homecomings. Amen. And special meetings and conventions. Amen. As though it's a preacher's marathon. Amen. Who can preach the best? Who cannot preach the other preacher? Amen. Come on, come on, come on here. Amen. Who's the greatest preacher among us? Amen. But I'm here to tell you tonight that we have got to draw closer to God. Amen. Help me here. If I don't get up here and do nothing but slaughter the English language and say this, that, and the tutter. Amen. But if I can get you to draw closer to God and realize that you're going to hell without any personal experience with God, without personal relationship with Him, if I can get you to understand, amen, that heaven is high, hell is hot, and eternity is long, and you've got to make preparations here and now, amen, to get things fixed with God. Amen. That's what matters. Amen. Amen. Help me here. If all we have to offer, I'm going to get in trouble here tonight, but I want to tell you. If all we have to offer you, or offer the world, as far as that's concerned, amen, is standards and a lifestyle without the power of Pentecost, amen, come on here, we're going to have less and less, amen, and fewer converts. Amen. We have got to have a life of holiness, but it can only be a true life of holiness whenever it is accompanied by the power of the Holy Ghost that changes you. Amen. If you're not changed, I don't care how good a lifestyle you got. Amen. You have not had an experience with God. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost will develop holiness standards. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. But holiness standards without the power of God is nothing more than a dry lifestyle. And it will attract nobody. It's the power of God that we've got to maintain. Amen. And equip our people with until there is a shower of glory. And the power and the Spirit of the Lord has accompanied the saints of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have a generation. Am I doing all right tonight? Come on, come on, come on, y'all. Come on with me anytime you want to. Amen. We have a generation now, amen, that is attracted to religion by easy believism. Just believe, and that's all that's necessary, with no conduct change, with no lifestyle change. Come on here. Just believe, and that's all that's necessary. Come on here. Amen. No brokenness. No, amen, no shedding of tears. No repentance of the heart. Amen. No change. Amen. To the extent that you are here. Come on. Are y'all staying with me? Keep smoking your cigarettes and just believe. Keep smoking, amen, pot and just believe. Keep drinking your liquor and just believe. Amen. Just be religious. That's all that's necessary. But I want to tell you, when the power of God changes an individual's life, it'll make a new creature out of you. Amen. You'll lose your desire and taste for nicotine. You'll lose your ambition to go to the dance hall. You'll lose the desire to flirt with somebody else's companion. There is a change in your heart that takes place because of Christ is made real to you. Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody say amen. You can have an experience with God personally. You've got to have an experience with God personally. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Somebody said, well, it can't be, amen, just me and God. Oh, yes, it can. It's got to be. Come on here. Somebody said, is there anybody that has ever had, amen, a personal relationship or experience with God? Yes. Amen. Amen. Isaiah saw him in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw also the Lord. I lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. I want to tell you, you can have a personal experience with God. Hallelujah! Moses talked with God personally. Abraham talked with God personally. Hey, you listen to me. Hey, that's Old Testament. All right, let's go to the New. Hey, man, when Saul of Tarsus on his road to Damascus. Hey, man, come on here. Hey, man, and a light shined out of heaven. Hey, man, knocked him to the ground. Hey, man, help me here. And Saul of Tarsus said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Do you find it hard to kick against the pricks? Hey, man, come on here. And God talked with him. And God met with him. And said, go down to Damascus, to a street that is called Straight. Amen. And it shall be told thee what thou must do. You can have a personal experience with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, God, help me here. Maybe a few years ago, time gets away anymore. I know several months ago, probably 2 or 3 years again gone by now. Amen. I did the three-generation thing here at the church. Three chairs, three generations. You're still here. There was Moses that had that first-generation experience to where he personally, amen, knew God, talked with God. Are y'all still here? Say amen. And then there was Joshua. Amen. Come on here. Moses and Joshua had that personal experience with God. Amen. And they rested on the promises. They saw God. They talked with God. God talked with them. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? And then there was the 70 elders of Israel. Amen. That after Moses and amen, Joshua died. Amen. They lived good. Come on here. They lived good. You see, they were banking on what Moses and Joshua had. Amen. Come on here. They didn't personally have that experience, but they believed what Moses and Joshua had told them and passed on to them. How God talked to them in Egypt and brought them out of the promised land, and they believed it and they embraced it and they lived by the precepts of God's word. Amen. Because of what Moses and Joshua had. Amen. Come on here. And then the Bible said there arose a generation after the elders of Israel that knew not the Lord. They didn't even know how to pray. Somebody say amen. I said they did not know how to pray. Amen. They did not now believe what the 70 elders of Israel was telling them. The 70 elders now is all dead. And then this new third generation has come on. And they didn't have that first generation experience. And they didn't have the faith of the second generation to believe the first generation's experience. Amen. So they said it's foolish. Amen. For us to live by the precepts of God and the commandments of the Lord. Amen. Because, come on here. Because it's not practical. Amen. And that generation knew not the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm feeling like preaching tonight. Amen. But you see, that first generation, help me here, that first generation always, amen, establishes, amen, the standards or the boundaries, amen, for their Christian movement. Amen. Come on, y'all stay with me. Amen. Moses and Joshua over here. Amen. They got the law straight from God and the commandments of the Lord straight from heaven. Amen. On the Mount Sinai. Amen. They talked with God. They communed with God. They spoke to God. And God ministered and spoke to them. Amen. Come on. Amen. They had such a close relationship with God. Amen. That when they came down from the mountain, amen. Come on here. Amen. Moses' face shone so brightly.
Amen, that they had put a veil over his face before he could ever speak to the children of Israel. Amen, because he had been in the presence of God. Amen, I want to tell you, God, give us a generation again that is interested in that first generation experience. It's not hearsay. It's not on yesterday's experience, but something I can tell you about.
I think being man, I don't know where I'm going to go with this tonight, but I feel like the Lord's a happiness. I think it's important to realize that the standards that that first generation set are based on what would keep them in the path that God had called them to do. To them, nothing else mattered. It didn't matter what Ray thought. It didn't matter what... Come on, now y'all stay with me here. It didn't matter what Gary Smith thought. It didn't matter, what Larry Welch thought. It didn't matter what... Take a guess. Take a number. It didn't matter what Silas... I got it. Phyllis Chapman thinks. It doesn't matter what, Sister Maggot, thinks. It really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. They had one objective and purpose in mind, and that was to please him that had called them to be a good soldier. They didn't want anything to break that relationship with God. Somebody say amen. We have a generation on our hands in our American culture, that do not know the Lord. Really? Religious? Yes. But they do not know God. Help me, oh God. They've not had their personal experience. Just been passed down through the families until we are known as a religious nation. But yet we are anti-Christian because we do not hold dear the sacred principles of righteousness that God gave to our forefathers.
Amen.
You see, this first generation, their convictions are determined by whether or not a certain activity or pleasure helps them stay on the path that God wants them on. And that was the premise of their convictions. We have a generation in America.
Give it to me in black and white.
Show it to me. There are some things that the Bible does not address because it was not in existence. But there are principles. Come on here. There are principles. And the principles that the Bible relates to us is always accurate and true. To violate those principles, will cause you to lose the blessings of God. Tobacco is not mentioned in the Bible. Come on here. I know. Glory to God. I tell my own son here recently. He's smoking one of those little white things, you know. I said, do you know what a cigarette is? He said, what? I said, it's a fire on one end and a fool on the other. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It'll kill you.
Yeah.
Praise God. He kind of grinned, shook his head. Come on here. That's Ricky's daddy. Come on. Are y'all still with me? Marijuana is not mentioned in the scripture. Come on here. Rock and roll is not mentioned in the Bible. But there are principles. I said there are principles laid out in God's book. That to violate that principle, is to lose the connection that you had with God. Hallelujah. Great God.
Amen, amen. And they were interested in only one thing. Would that pleasure, or would that activity, or would what I'm about to do infringe upon my relationship with God? Amen. Would it add to my testimony? Amen. Or would it destroy my Christian influence? And that was the only thing they were interested in.
Man. We used to have... This is not popular preaching, but it's all right. I'm not running for a popularity contest anyhow. We used to have in the holiness movement what we call personal convictions. Does anybody remember that phrase? Personal convictions. Half of you nod your head, the other half's... Amen. Personal convictions. And that is when the Holy Ghost dealt with your heart about things in your life. Amen. Come on here. That you needed to surrender and give up just for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. Are y'all still with me? Did you know that the devil knows that there are some things that you are more inclined to and love more than other things? And that's what he will tempt you with. That's what he will pull at you with. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe it things that way. Well, it really doesn't change anything. The book is still right. I have never seen, amen, in all my years of preaching, almost 50 years of preaching, amen, that you talk to people about, amen, convictions and Bible living and holiness of heart and holiness of life, and they'll just tell you in no uncertain terms, I don't see it like that, I don't believe it like that, amen, and I always say it doesn't change anything. You'll have to answer to God on Judgment Day for what you know and have heard is right. Amen. They're this first generation's convictions, amen, had very little to do with whether, how can I say this in a good way tonight? It had very little to do, amen, with whether or not an activity was specifically denounced as sinful in the Bible. Amen. There are some things that is not mentioned in the Scripture. Amen, Brother Savage. There's some things that God deals with your heart about. Amen. And if you draw back when God, through the Holy Ghost, amen, dealing with your heart about surrendering things and giving up things and quit doing things in your life, and you draw back and, amen, and won't pursue and go any further, amen, with God than that, I want to tell you, you will lose what relationship you had with God. You will go backwards instead of forwards. Amen. They were interested in only one thing, whether or not that activity, amen, would sidetrack them from His presence. Amen. They so value His presence and communion that to them nothing was worth losing that relationship over. Nothing. Come on here. No matter how mundane it seemed, or how insignificant it seemed, amen, they were only interested in keeping their relationship with God intact. Amen. Their powerhouse connection. And if there is anything that breaks that powerhouse connection, amen, it is a detriment to your spirituality. Man. Hallelujah. Does anybody here say amen? Amen. We have a prayerless generation. You hear me? Amen. We have a prayerless generation. And that's the reason they have no convictions. A lady from Texas, from the church where we used to pastor out there, some years ago now. I've been here almost 29 years, and I was evangelizing here 3 years before we took the church. So somewhere in the third year, amen, this lady just called us this past week, amen, to pray for her daughter-in-law that they had run tests on, and it appears from all that they can tell that she has MS, multiple sclerosis. Amen. And she wanted prayer. Amen. She said, would you people, amen, Brother Savage, she said, we remember when you were here. Amen. And we still have confidence that you'll get a hold of God. She said, help me here. That church where I pastored in Mesquite, Texas, now is more worldly than any Episcopalian church you'll ever go into. Amen. It's pitiful, pitiful. Amen. Come on here. It grieves my heart. It really does. Amen. And this lady that called us, she said, I am amazed and shocked at the number of people anymore that do not know how to pray. We have a prayerless society in the church world in America. Help me here. If you don't believe it, go to a church, amen, just on prayer meeting night, when they have nothing but prayer, and they may run 500 in Sunday school, amen, and can't get 2 dozen out to prayer meeting. Come on now, preacher. Amen. Now we'll tell you, because that communion and that spiritual relationship through the power of the Holy Ghost is not continually updated. There is one initial filling of the Holy Ghost, but there are many, many refillings. And if that experience that you had with God is not continually updated, amen, in sincere, heart-searching prayer, amen, these convictions become or begin to evolve into a mere tradition without any power behind it. And that's where we are in the American culture, in the church world, in the Pentecostal, and in the holiness movement. Amen. It is nothing more than a tradition. And the reason is because we have a prayerless generation that do not know how to pray, do not know how to get a hold of God, do not know how to draw themselves into that prayer closet, just them and the Lord, and get shut in with God. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. We used to sing a chorus years ago. Hey, man, be all right if Marcia want to come and sing it again. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face. Amen. Come on. Somebody say amen. Gaining new power to run in this race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Woo! If we could get people, amen, with that kind of a desire in their hearts, amen, we would have a powerhouse. Amen. We would have a connection renewed. And our relationship with God would be brought again. Hallelujah. Come on, Marcia. Amen. Without prayer, this generation, without prayer, is in no position to develop any kind of personal convictions. It is nothing more than a lifestyle without power. Man, it looks like I could get a hold of anything to preach on Easter night beside this. But I want to tell you, amen, unless we have a revival in our individual hearts of that yearning, compelling desire to be shut in with God in a secret place. Amen. Our standards will become our main thrust and theme. Amen. But without any power behind it. Amen. That does not lessen the importance of standards and holy living. It emphasizes it, that we've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost moving in our hearts before God will use us like He wants us to be. Shut in with God in a secret in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. I long to be shut in. Hallelujah, sing it again. Shut in with God.